Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Breiser here on TNS Radio. 5 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock here in Ireland. I hope you're all doing well. And I'm joined by Avalon again tonight. Those of you who are wondering where Dee is, well, she's been kind of kept busy the last few weeks. But I think she will be back with us next week. So, Avalon, you want to say hello?
Hello, everybody, and we're having a very exciting show for you tonight. You're going to learn a lot more things to expand your horizon, maybe shock you deeply about the things that Clint Richardson is going to tell you tonight.
Yes, that's right. Our guest tonight is Clint Richardson. I think a lot of you will remember Clint has been on before, I think twice before. He's made three documentaries now, I think, so far, Corporation Nation 1 and 2, and his most recent one, Lethal Injection, which is all about these notorious vaccines, which a lot of us, I know, are aware of, but a must-watch for anybody and to pass on to people who have who might know much about vaccines, because this will really, you know, the information here is quite damning, and Clint is a great man for the research and the evidence, and he puts it out there, and it can't be disputed. So, Clint, welcome to TNS Radio. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I always enjoy doing your show, actually.
Well, that's good.
That was a heck of an introduction. I don't know how I can live up to it.
Yeah, well, you're doing well, you know, and as I said, you, from what I've seen from your videos that you've produced, is that you do back everything up with evidence which can't be refuted in any way, and you know, particularly in Corporation Nation, and you know, it's all there for everybody to go look at it themselves. You know?
Well, you know, what it boils down to is, yeah, that's the goal, obviously. But you know, what I stopped doing is I stopped reading books. I started reading patents, and I started reading law and U.S. code, and I started reading these comprehensive annual financial reports, and the wealth of information that comes out of those reports and the law itself makes all of these things that we treat as conspiracies and all of these things that we have so much trouble trying to point out to people, you know, we can actually show it most of the time that it's not illegal what these people are doing, from chemtrails to vaccinations to testing on people. Everything's illegal, and that's the problem. The Federal Reserve, perfectly legal. All of these central banks, everything is written within the law. And so while we're trying to explain the ethical, moral, and everything you know, about these things to people, we're not ever referencing the fact that it's legal. In other words, why don't people get in trouble for poisoning us? Why don't people get in trouble for taking our homes? Well, those banks are just following federal code, or, you know, in your case, you're in a different country, obviously, but the same thing applies. I think we covered your pension fund last time, didn't we?
Where that's right,
you found out all these stock investments and stuff. All this stuff is perfectly legal, and it's a worldwide common, mutually beneficial effort between all of these, you know, governments, basically.
That's right. I mean, I know people have heard you before, but maybe just give us just a brief rundown of Corporation Nation and the Great Pension Fund hoax, and then we'll chat more about Lethal Injection, because I think that's your most recent one, and I think...
Well, yeah, I guess with regards to the vaccine movie, I guess it's important to understand why these things, you know, happen, and that's because, as the title suggests, you know, you live in a corporation. You don't live in a government, per se, because the government is a corporation. A corporation is simply a construct. It's almost like you could compare it to a border. If I go and I step outside of the American border and step into Mexico, I haven't crossed anything tangible or physical. I've only crossed a corporation line. We have such thing called city limits here, or corporation limits, that lets you know as you're driving that you pass from one city or municipal corporation, which is a city or county, to the next municipal corporation. These are all incorporated entities with the state, which is, it turns out, a federal corporation. When the U.S. Constitution when the U.S. Code, when the federal government, the main corporate structure, refers to the states individually, it refers to those states as entities. When it states the United States, it is talking about the corporate structure of which all of those states are basically within the federal jurisdiction, making them pretty much property of the corporation. Mm-hmm. So the problem with this is, you know, the people might not agree with that. We might say, well, I'm not property. I'm not, you don't own my land. And we might, protest, or we might do things. We might even say, well, I'm not a citizen anymore. How about that? The problem is you can't ignore the bully that's going to come and take your property, whether you're a citizen or not, because it still considers you and your property. It's essentially its slave. Now, you, Breiser, you live in a different slave colony than me.
Mm-hmm.
You live in the Irish slave colony.
Yeah.
Your neighbors are in the Scottish slave colony, and most of these colonies are controlled by the, if you want to really get technical, by the big corporation and that London corporation, which is tied to the Vatican corporation,
mm-hmm.
not a part of the Italy per se. It's its own corporation. All these things are corporations. When you hear a city, a township, a county, a state, they're all individual corporations. Now in California, there's about 18,000 of these corporations, from school districts to other types of districts, counties, cities, and in America proper, you got about 230,000, including all of the federal entities. And because we have so many governments, each one with its own investments, all of these different things, they each have to file what's called this comprehensive annual financial report, the
mm-hmm.
CAFR,
mm-hmm.
and that basically shows the majority of investments and anything that's basically not been shipped offshore to their foreign holdings. So you see all these investments, real estate holdings, foreign currencies, securities, unbelievable amount of securities. So it's actually the government that's investing in these. You probably heard about mortgage-backed securities.
Yeah.
And how they're used with hypothecation, that England was using the same house to back four different things. We were doing the same thing as collateral. So what those reports show, as we covered in the last show with your pension fund, is that these corporations over the last 70, 80 years since this system has started up have been slowly and incrementally purchased. The public stock of these corporations has been purchased by these government investment funds. Most notably are the pension funds, which is the reason for that big, long movie called The Great Pension Fund Hoax.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that money is, even though it seems like it's the employees that are contributing to those funds, in no way do the employees have equity. So as soon as the municipality or the county or the state or the federal government declares bankruptcy, all that money goes to the government because it is a corporation. It is not of and by and for the people. So that brings us to the vaccines. Now,
mm-hmm.
government is the main shareholder in just about, as far as I can tell, every pharmaceutical company out there. And that's not just our national companies, that's all of the international pharmaceuticals as well. So you've got a government in a severe, severe conflict of interest. And that conflict is passing the laws that dictate whether or not the companies that it owns, the pharmaceutical and medical companies, can force vaccinate or can require children to get vaccinated when they go to school. Well, naturally, if you own the company that's going to produce the vaccine, and you own the medical company that's going to deliver the vaccine, it's going to be very, very profitable for you to enforce something like forced vaccination, or for you to threaten nurses and doctors and teachers and everyone else that are in public jobs or government jobs to threaten them and say, if you don't get a shot, a vaccine, we're going to fire you. And so there's going to be 10 other people that want to take your place, and we'll get the shot. And that's where we are with how the whole thing kind of fits together. The conflict of interest is the most important part, because, again, those pharmaceutical companies and the vaccine manufacturers, all the medical companies, you go down and find every single one on any government institutional fund, all these mutual funds and pension funds. It's amazing when you actually start really delving deep into it, and you will see. And we have a problem, because that's that same government is the one that's passing the laws which those corporations operate in. So we're in a lot of trouble.
And what we're doing is we're actually saying, yeah, it's okay for you to make it legal to poison us. You know?
Yeah, well, you're consenting. You know, yeah. The unspoken rule of law is that all law requires the consent of the governed. Well, by not speaking out about it and saying no, and in writing saying no, we're consenting to it. Every time we spend a Federal Reserve note, a dollar as we call it, we're consenting to the Federal Reserve. Even if we're shouting at the top of our lungs, end the central bank, end you know, this tyranny, we're spending the money. And by doing that, we're supporting the whole structure that we're talking about. It's amazing when you come to the realization that everything you do is basically implied consent, from getting a driver's license. Well, I don't know what you guys get over there, a permit. Every time you do something like that, every time you register your marriage or you register your house, you're consenting to the whole investment scheme, the whole scheme that takes away everything you own and puts it into the property of the corporation, the corporation nation.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, as I said, it's all tied up in everything, as you say, with the banks, the pharmaceutical companies, the big, you know, the military-industrial complex, if you want to call it, everything. And this is where we have a big job, isn't it, Clint, to try and show this to people, how deep this goes.
Oh, man. You know? Yeah, and you can... It's almost impossible to show. I mean, like I said, I had to make a 4-hour movie to possibly get in enough of these pension funds to even show a dent, you know, because, again, there's 230,000 governments just in America. So to try and show all of those investments, and that's very purposeful, because you don't want to put all your financial reporting in one place. That would be too obvious. So you spread it out over 230,000 different reports, and that way no one can possibly know. No one in America seems to understand, as they tell us that our Social Security system is broke, that we have over $2.5 million in investments in the Social Security fund, right? So everybody says, oh, there's no Social Security, I'm not going to have it when I get old. Meanwhile, the Social Security fund, the investment fund that nobody seems to understand exists, is growing exponentially by hundreds of billions of dollars. There's the Medicare fund, which is over $400 billion, which grows by tens of billions every single year, and nobody knows it exists. All we know is that we're not going to have Social Security, which is basically the pension fund for all the people, when we get older, because it's going to go away. We're conditioned, we're soundbite conditioned to think that that's not going to be there when we grow up, and I'm betting that at some point they're going to crash the economy in a very controlled way, and they're going to take all of that money out. And then we're going to go to a gold-backed currency. And since all these corporations and governments across the world own all the gold, guess what? We're going to have to buy all that gold from them. They're going to make a huge profit. And then they're going to sink the price of gold and buy it back. And then they're going to do the same. It's just, it's like a Euroboros just keep eating its own tail, but the snake never ends. Yeah. It just keeps going, and we keep contributing to the problem, the system.
I know. Yeah, it's unbelievable, really. I think about it. Another thing I found out here as well, that we've got a population of about 4.5 million, and our government are spending 4.8 million on fluoridating the water. That's a million per every man, woman, and child on this land.
Hey, wait, don't get into conspiracies now. Fluoride is good for you.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Teeth or something, isn't it? But you know, again, you know, it's a byproduct of the fertilizer industry and whatever. And, you know, God knows how many brown envelopes are passing between the, you know, government and the rest to keep this going, you know. And they tell us it's good for our
teeth. Let's take this into consideration, too. Yeah. Let's stop calling it they, because you know who they is. They is us. We're the people. We're the ones that are taking these government jobs and poisoning ourselves. We're the ones that are nurses and doctors, and we work for the health industry and the government health you know, regulating bodies, and we're the ones that are passing the laws. We're the ones that are, it's the people. That's the most horrible thought, is that it's the people that are doing this to ourselves. We are getting a nice, cushy government job, and if we don't cooperate with the government financial scheme to make all of this happen, we're going to get fired. So what do? We cooperate. Very few of us, like, I mean, I quit a very lucrative career to do this, and now I'm poor as can be, but sure, I'm happy doing it. I feel much better than contributing to the media that promotes all this stuff. I used to work on video games. Now I, you know, I'm basically in a basement doing research all day and doing that. You know, it's, most people aren't going to give up their cushy government jobs, and they're going to cooperate, and they're going to be holier than thou about it, and they're going to insist that you get a vaccine because it's good for you. Mm-hmm. Even if their cognitive dissonance is telling them loud and clear that they're wrong, their job depends on it. Their children depend on that job to eat. The mortgage is there to pay. These people that's the problem. It's people, and they're not going to go against the system, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them, and that's our biggest problem. They are us. That's my biggest fear.
And Clint, when you think of it that way, it all goes down to one thing, and it's lack of ethics and lack of backbone, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you think about it, the very definition of a corporation, and a corporation includes any type of entity that is incorporated, including nonprofits. There really is no such thing as a non-profit corporation when you really get to the bare bones of it. But a corporation is designed for profit. Corporation, in order to be a corporation, you have to be solvent. You have to be making some sort of money. Now, the concept of a corporation cannot have a religious opinion. That's law. The corporation basically, when you have a church, for instance, it's a massive for-profit corporation with this arm or sub-corporation that is the non-profit arm. Now, that non-profit can be a religion, but the main corporation, not so much. That's where all the investments and things are. So when we're talking about a corporation, including our government, their sole purpose is profit, or in this case, because they can't show that they're a for-profit business. They invest all this money, they send it offshore, and there is literally no place for ethics or morals or values. The only value is investment return. That's the purpose of being incorporated, especially in government.
Yeah. You have to look after the shareholders, you know. This is it. So.
Yep. And the shareholders are not the people.
No.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I mean, a lot of us, I think, you're even listening, I think, know exactly what you're talking about here. But you know, again, trying to to get this information out to people and explain it to them, to say that actually, when you spend money, that you're actually contributing to this. And you know, I see where you're coming from there, because basically, we were born free. We are actually the creditor. And by using debt notes, we are actually turned ourselves into a debtor. And isn't that right? When you go to a cash register, you're registering your debt notes.
Exactly.
You know,
we could all be called constitutors, because we're under the Constitution, which is a debt contract. That's also another option. Mm-hmm. If it makes you feel better to be a free man under the Constitution, well, guess what? The word constitute means to be in debt to someone else. So, hey, congratulations.
That's it, yeah. So, yeah, it's amazing. when you think about it, it's not funny either, because it's such a serious thing when you see what's going on around the world at the moment between, you know, wars and whatever.
You can watch old movies about how supposedly the slaves were treated. I don't believe most of that. I think if you have slaves, you're going to treat them darn well because you want them to work and be healthy so they can work. Mm-hmm. But if you watch all these old movies, slavery was a pretty obvious thing. I wouldn't even call it a contract. You were property. Mm-hmm. And it was obvious who the slave was and who the master was. At this point, since we're all under contract, we're all pretty much property according to them, they being the people who are in government.
Yeah.
These corporations that say that they own us, the problem is we can't recognize it. We can't see the chains around our arms. We can't fathom that we're slaves because the chains are invisible. They're they're promoted in everything we watch, the media. I mean, yeah, I know you guys. I don't have to explain this, but geez, what do we need to break out of this? That's the question, and I honestly don't know the answer.
I mean, they're talking about that, but there is a general awakening going around the world. I myself think it is happening, but not happening quick enough for us to kind of turn this around. And what plans these elitists, whatever you want to call them, have for us, I don't know, but it's not looking good. And I mean, certainly a third world war could be quite imminent, and this could be their plan to again crash the economy, all these things at one time. And for a lot of people, I think they will just not be able to handle this, because they've been brainwashed since a very young age that this is the system you live in, and shut up and be quiet, and that's it.
Yeah.
And to try and think outside the box, well, is, you're a nutcase. The men in white coats for that guy, So, I just the way I feel, I really do think it's going to be very, very difficult for most of the people to get their heads around this, because it took me a while, I know that.
It's very difficult, especially when you get into what we're talking about, which is this investment scheme that is so unseen by most people. It's so contrary to what we're used to seeing in the news and what we've grown up with in the history books that are somehow written by the very corporations we're talking about. it's very difficult to. Unless you're tuned into this station, why you're on this station, because you actually want to hear this stuff. You want you want to know what's going on. But most people aren't wanting to know. I use my parents to their chagrin, probably. I use my parents as a perfect example. They are on a government pension, a military pension.
Mm-hmm.
Without a care in the world. They got the money coming in. My dad's on 100% disability, and they've got their house, and so everything's paid off, no bills whatsoever, and they're in the most perfect financial position that you could possibly be. And every time I try to broach any subject like this with them, they don't care. They've got their little thing going on. Pensioners. They're benefiting off the system that's breaking everybody else. And I can't tell that to them because they don't want to know.
That's right.
They don't want to break their perfect little world that they've got set up. That basically what it boils down to is there cannot be that type of welfare system, that type of pension system, without it harming other people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there can't be wealthy without there being at least an equal number of poor, and generally a lot more poor people exponentially than wealthy. You can't have wealth without poverty. You can't have light without dark. You can't have good without evil. Nothing exists without its its opposite. So if everybody out there gets on into these government jobs and gets government pensions, that's the takeover of the economy, and it's pitting people against people.
Mm-hmm.
one benefiting from the system and one being harmed in a much larger way as time goes on. So.
Yeah. And I think this is the only. I think the only way people will really kind of wake up to this is when they, you know, they get hit by stuff, when suddenly the economy does take, you know, it goes bust, and they can't get their savings, and they can't, you know, they go to the cash machine, there's nothing there, and you know, this is where the problem is going to be.
And that's if it happens, because you know, when I look around and I see Agenda 21 spreading across the world, and I see that they're planning on 1.4 million more people here within less than 30 years, practically doubling the amount of people in my area in Utah, which is Salt Lake City, when I see all the control structure, the cameras, the red light cameras that they call traffic cameras but are really spy cameras, when I see all of these sensors and all of these things going in, I start to wonder at the popular opinion amongst all of us that there's going to be a crash like we think there is. I'm starting to wonder if it's actually not the opposite, because why would you set this whole world grid control structure up if just to crash it? It kind of doesn't make sense to me anymore. And so I think the threat of all of that happening is going to get more and more and more. But I think that in the end, examining all of these investments and all of the things that are owned by the government structure and the national bankers and international bankers, I'm not sure there's going to be what we think there is, because it seems to me like it's just a case of more and more people getting dependent on government, getting crammed into these small areas. And I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if there's – it's the whole crash theory, it has any water to it. And I'm also, of course, starting to wonder if the people actually have any gumption to actually do anything about it. What if all of a sudden you stop receiving your pension check and you're 75 years old? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because, you know, probably the younger generation being less educated on such things will cheer and say, well, screw those old people. They don't deserve my money for their pension. And that's an unfortunate reality. Our younger generations have really lost respect for the older generations. And that's another thing I think that's been promoted through the media, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, we'll have to wait and see on that one, but, I still think that there might be something going on though, to bring people under, you know, more control.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Here's my final word on is something going to happen? Is there going to be a revolution? And is it going to be a real revolution or a controlled revolution? The only way to answer that is to ask yourself this question, and that is, do I hope that it's going to happen? Or are you asking yourself, what can I do to make it happen? Because the word hope is used way too often. We hope that Ron Paul's a good guy. I happen to pretty much am positive that he's not, but most people will say, oh, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul. Well, I don't believe that for a second, but people hope. They have this hope that Ron Paul's the guy, instead of actually going and trying to make a difference. Are you going to hope it's going to happen? Because really, what does hope mean? Hope means in action. It means you're not doing anything to make something happen. You're just sitting back and you're hoping that things turn out well. And you're hoping that means that everything's going to turn out quite badly. So you have to ask yourself, are you hoping it's going to happen, or are you going to do something about it? That's where the real key is, because most people are going to sit back, they're going to enjoy their pensions or their government cushy jobs or their private sector jobs, and they're going to hope that everything turns out okay. Meanwhile, go out to the restaurants and all these corporations that are government-owned and hope the whole thing sticks, you know, stays together. So yeah, there's two sides. There's either the inactive side or the active side, and if you're hopeful, you're probably not doing anything to actually make the change happen.
Hope is eternal, so people stay inactive forever.
Yeah, it's exactly.
That's what it really means. I think you're right there, Clint. I also find the majority of people don't want to make a change. And when you ask them, they say they've given up. They used to try, but they've given up. Or that they think it's no point anyway, so why should they even start doing something?
Well, and I admit, perfectly clearly to everybody that I feel that way all the time. But, a great personal sacrifice, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I hope that other people feel the same way, because I think each of our individual races, each of our beautiful cultures, each of our wonderful, everything that is the human race is too precious to possibly leave up to hope. You have to protect these things. You have to protect your natural resources. Natural resources are now considered commodities. What is a commodity? It's something that is tradable. It is money. It is currency. It is a bartering tool. So instead of worshiping gold and worshiping the very earth that we get these things from, we're destroying everything. We're making gold, which can be used to heal, to create all these mechanical devices, to put into colloidal gold, all these different things that can be used for gold. But what do? Because we've been trained to do it, we take that darn beautiful, intrinsic, and wonderfully beautiful metal, and we form it into coins, or we form it into these big, ugly bars, and we bury them, we hide them, we put them in our chest, and hope that one day we're going to profit off of that beautiful natural resources. What should we be doing with natural resources? We should be protecting them, sharing them, and ensuring that everybody has use of them. But instead, we use them as money, as a tool to make profit. And that is our biggest crime, I think, as a people, is that we're suckered into that. We all collect our gold and our silver, and now we're going to start collecting bronze and copper, and we're going to hoard it, and we're not going to recognize it for the beautiful thing that it is. That's criminal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, silver and all these, colloidal silver, we all know about that, and all these things that can be done, but no, we just want to mint it and make jewelry out of it and show it off, and look what I've got, you know.
Take crazy. The ocean, there's, I can't even tell you how many square miles of ocean we have, but if you take one square mile of ocean, you can extract tons of gold from just one square mile of ocean. The thought that gold is scarce is actually a pretty much a fallacy, not to mention we have this ground-penetrating radar that can find anything from oil to natural gas, to gold and silver, and any other granite type of rock. It all has a certain resonance, a certain frequency that this ground-penetrating radar picks up. So we know where all the gold is. We know where all these natural resources are. There's no shortage of anything. And the artificial scarcity that is promoted keeps us from recognizing, again, the abundance, not only the abundance of Earth, but the preciousness of it. And there's a mining shortage right now. This is amazing. There's mines in Australia right now, out in the middle of nowhere, on the outback, that are hiring people for like $250,000 a year contracts, because there's about a 70% shortage in mining. In miners, I should say. Mm-hmm. So these people are making a fortune by going and digging up gold. Meanwhile, the people who are hoarding all that gold, the banks, the institutional funds, and governments, are kicking the price of that gold up as high as they can. And then, of course, they're going to probably crash the gold price to the point where all these people, you and me,
Hello, Clint, you there? Okay, sorry, folks. We seem to have lost Clint there. I'll just see if he comes back again. One sec now. Right. What I'll do is I'll play a tune, I think, and we'll try and get Clint back. Okay, one sec now.